Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. And together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, Med Spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. Today, we're joined by Allie Ballou, our other nurse practitioner here at Skin and Tonic. And we're so happy to have her join us.
Excited to be back again.
What are we talking about today, Allie?
We're talking about face mapping.
What is face mapping?
Face mapping is, you know, looking at the face as a whole, deciding, you know, what we can do to enhance patients' favorite features while also not, you know, creating any new issues or not, you know, overly exaggerating one area to make another area look too small. You know, it's really just balancing, harmonization.
I mean, I think that's a really nice summary. So it's an interesting concept, face mapping, because it's something really I think that we've done our entire career. We've never labeled it quite that way. But as new injectors get trained, new people come on the market, there's all these new coin terms, and right now face mapping is a hot trendy topic in the aesthetic training industry. All three of us are trainers for multiple companies. I'm the chief medical officer at Empire Medical Training. Both of you do trainings individually with them, and in fact, Allie, you just had one of the fast tracks here at the office a few weeks ago, right?
I did.
So you got to do a lot of one-on-one with the students and kind of train them. Yeah, you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it a lot, and I know the students enjoyed it too, because they loved getting to see when we're talking about facial balancing, facial harmonization, mapping, all of that. They get, you know, the three syringes of filler they get to inject on a model, and they can really see the difference that you can make in one sitting with multiple syringes. And I think a lot of times, especially as new injectors, it's like you don't want to do too much, you don't want to overdo it. When you really think about how much a syringe of filler is, it's like it's not really that much, and it does take multiple to make a big difference in the face. And so it's always fun just seeing the students' reactions, like, oh, I did that.
Well, I find it interesting, and I've always told the story, I've said it many times, maybe even on the podcast before, with this concept of mapping or drawing out or envisioning where you're going with someone. Some people have a very natural ability to do that. Jerry is one of those people, and we're redoing our house right now. And he can look at it and say, this is what it looks like when it's finished, and have that idea in his mind. I don't have that ability. And so in the building, it's hard, and something new, it's hard. I need to see an example or the finished product, and then I can try to replicate that. And so for me in aesthetics, I needed to learn by the rules in the beginning. And so I needed mapping, I needed lines, I needed landmarks, I needed to know like proportions and ratios. And then after many years of doing that, it started to click, and now I can look and kind of put those pieces together. So Allie, with you, do you have that natural ability, or is that something that you learned, an acquired skill that you learned over time?
I feel like because I learned most of my stuff from Jerry, because I was with him all the time, I never really drew on the face that much when I was mapping, because I think I didn't see Jerry do it that often. So a lot of times, like when we're in class, you know, my students are, you know, drawing all their lines that they're taught in the book, and they're like, okay, well, listen, I'm like, yeah, but look, do you see this? Because not every patient's the same, and there's only so much mapping that you can do, and you have to personalize every treatment to that specific patient. And so a lot of times I don't find myself drawing on my patients and mapping that much, because I'm really just looking at their face and putting it where I need to put it. I find myself drawing most often, I think, when I do cheeks, so that I'm not going back and forth as much, and I can assess the patient from the front, draw, and then go.
Do you think mapping is drawing?
I don't, just because, like, I think my mind works a little different, but I think about mapping just like I would on a roadmap. How can I get from point A to point B and achieve my goal? So between there are several things that you want. And so if you want to make it a road trip and see a lot of different things, then there are a million different ways to get there. But I think if you're trying to find the easiest way to get there, then there's some subtle things that you can do. And that's when we start dividing the face into thirds, and we can achieve something in lower face by correcting mid face, and et cetera. And so I think about mapping as pre-planning a trip before you ever start on it. And so in my mind, that's what mapping is. And so, and I think that what you said is correct, but that's kind of where I start with my consultation process. And so patients oftentimes have a hard time with that because they usually come to us about something that bothers them the most. And from the start, like maybe our very first neurotoxin class, we started about the consultation being like, if you don't correct what bothers the patient most, they're not going to be happy. Like, we could give you the best set of lips you ever have seen, but if your glabellar lines is what really bothers you, then you're not going to be happy with pretty lips. And so, so I think that all kind of comes into like should be your first visit and set the patient up for their next several visits at the clinic. And that way, end result, patient's going to be happy and you'll be happy.
So I think the bottom line is that we're all mapping in some way. And that was where I was leading with that. Some of us draw on the face, some of us visually map, but mapping is really, you put it best, coming up with a plan of how you're going to get from point A to point B and getting on the same page with the patient. I do think it's really difficult for patients to understand that because they just see a problem and they're looking to you for the solution to that problem. And it's up to us as, you know, skilled injectors to say, here are the options, here are the ways we can accomplish this. And on this road trip, on this way, that we take you towards your final destination or goal, there's some other things we can do. And so that's where we bring in facial harmony, facial balancing, looking at cheeks in relation to the lower face, at chin, and, you know, how's it in proportion to the lips. And so we're all actually doing that in some manner, whether or not we're writing on the face. But I think one of the, you know, things that I've learned, and now I have to go back because I did like to plan this out. I did need to see examples in drawing. For me, I need something concrete. But as I got more skilled at injection, I stopped doing a lot of that because now I will look and I'll see what I want to accomplish. So I have to force myself to go back and draw for those people that are like me that are learning when I'm teaching. And I think that that's what we all three see, because now at this point, between the three of us, we've taught thousands of students and we teach often. And we see learners from all different backgrounds. So nurses, PAs, NPs, MDs, DOs, dentists. And you have to, as a skilled instructor, change and alter your teaching style to meet the needs of the student. And I think that constantly we're all striving to be better, not just at injectors, but how do we share this knowledge? How do we make sure that we pass that on to students or to people who are just entering the industry, or maybe ones that have even done it for a while and are learning a new technique? So that brings me to the next thing here at Skin and Tonic. And one of the things when we do private trainings or we do fast tracks in these small group settings, we have a lot of tools to help us. And so things that we didn't necessarily have, you didn't even have when you started here, because we've got some of these new things. So tell me, what is your favorite tool, whether it's something electronic or, you know, technology related, or something just as simple as a printed map of the face that you draw? What's the favorite tool that you have to share with students?
I'll say right now, and I think all of my students really enjoyed it, was the skin analysis machine that we have here. And what it can do is it basically assesses you and compares you to other people in your age group that have had the skin analysis done and says, here's your overall skin age and here's an individual age for all of these eight qualities. And so you can kind of see, okay, well, the highest ages are my UV damage and my nasolabial folds. And so you can say, okay, well, those are two factors that are aging you the most. And so let's start there. So it can kind of give the patient a clear understanding of where we need to start and go from there, kind of thing. The students love to see it. And then it can also see, I mean, I literally used it today because we had a skin analysis on a patient who had a Neogen PSR. And I looked at her skin analysis and her angles are much sharper on her right side of her face. She had more loss of elasticity in her right side. She sleeps on her right side. And so I actually added a few more passes for extra tightening on her right side to kind of gain some symmetry, hopefully. So even using it for things like that in patient care, but the students, obviously, you know, if they really like it, any tools.
Yeah, I think the patients love it as well as the students. I think for facial mapping from a student standpoint, we can use this to help put very specific concrete findings in front of them. This is the problem we're working on. Because in the beginning, it's like building blocks. They're learning one thing. They're seeing the glabellar lines or the 11 lines, and they're just focused on, where do I put my Botox to freeze those lines? Just something that simple. But then you got to learn, how does that balance if I put too much in the forehead? What if I don't treat the nasalis? Are they going to get worse bunny lines? And then we start adding, what does the skin look like? What is the skin texture, the tone, the quality? What does the underlying bone look like? Are they losing bone? And we start adding all those dimensions and all those layers. And sometimes it's hard in the beginning because you're focused on the one thing you're learning. And so some of these tools and devices help us put that together and kind of shortcut the path and say, hey, let me teach you what you need to be looking for. Jerry, what about you? What's your favorite tool?
Probably my favorite tool, I'll just say, like, comprehensive would be the medicine room, because there are so many things in there I can choose from.
So
that's an interesting
Yeah, I wasn't choice. Thinking that at all.
Well, we have such a big portfolio of things in there. I was thinking about it as you were talking, because we have to, like, we can talk about getting from point A to point B, but we have to take patient's perspective into account. And so that has to be part of the trip we're planning, because, like, with you, for instance, Chris would hate to have a thread in his face, but we could give him some lift and some mid-face volumization by relocating the fat pads in his face. But if he had a thread in his face, he would hate it. But then we have to choose something else. So that's part of our
and
plan.
Tell why I would hate it.
Because he didn't like something that he didn't have control of.
Because he thinks
of.
I'm crazy, right? And so a little bit, it's like there, he's like, I hate it, but I don't have control of it. But I would hate the feel of it. I think threads are safe. I did thread lifts this morning before we started this podcast. So, and you have them in your face. I use them in my family. It's the psychological component. I wouldn't like to feel something pulling tight. Some people want that tight pull.
But we can get that result with another treatment, whether we use a series of radio frequency microneedling or we use some Sculptra or different things. And so I think that's part of facial mapping and planning.
Yep, the products you're going
to
use.
Back to my crazy answer, the med room, I have a lot of things in that room without energy devices or whatever that I can use.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's pretty actually, I think old school. I guess there's updated versions of it that we have. But I really love just a whiteboard or a white piece of paper. And we had it when I was teaching last weekend in Atlanta with you. And I love just being able to write on that. So to me, to be able to write and diagram what I'm thinking to the students, so looking at someone's face and drawing out, here's our plan, I think it's a great tool, whether you have it and to teach with or with your patients, to map out a plan for them. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're injecting in these parts. And here's what we're going to do along the way. We also have that's a simple way of doing it. You can write on a picture. A lot of you have iPads or something similar that you can take a photo on, and we can color and draw and show what we're trying to do. I think that's a good way to visualize. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. I really love our new fancy gadget, the Quantificare. So I don't know if you guys have played very much with that yet, but there are ways that we can simulate and move things around on there to kind of show patients what they expect and spin it around and look at the degrees of lift and what we're trying to accomplish. We can do it with patients or we can do it with students as we're planning.
Basically shows like tomography of the face. I mean, it's like, it's literally a map.
Yeah, it's literally a map, and we can plan out what we're doing. Again, not everybody's going to have that right out of the gate. I think that's a good thing about doing, you know, when we look at the fast tracks and kind of how they're all over or doing training within someone's office, whether it's through a company like Empire or through a private training, however you go about doing that, you get to see and play with some of these tools to see, is it something that you really like or not? So what do you think the importance outside of planning in your mind, what is the importance of facial mapping before you embark upon any treatment on a patient?
To get a plan. That's not the answer you're looking for. I can tell by the way you shook your head.
I could too.
He's like,
wrong.
There's no wrong answer.
Well, it's not,
but you're not right.
There's no. You're right, but it's kind of what we've already said. That's to get a plan. But
so ask me the question again. Let me see if I can guess the right answer.
There's no wrong answer.
Okay.
But we're trying to get a plan, and so outside of just like saying the product and here's the options. What is the importance of doing this rather than just treating the 11 lines? Somebody comes in and says, I want my 11 lines treated. Do you do facial mapping that, or do you treat the 11 lines and send them out the door?
Oh, so that they get like their best result by treating all areas of the face and or treating the underlying issue first, mm-hmm. maybe.
But I know you got to it because you were alluding to it and you just didn't like really elaborate. And that's what I was trying to get, I guess, is elaboration on what's the importance of the consult. Because both of you talked about that initial consult a little bit in your first answers.
I think a lot of times patients don't understand why they're having the problem that they're actually experiencing. And so, you know, for instance, crepey skin under the eyes, and oftentimes they'll come and want Botox there, where you don't understand that that skin thins over time and the different causes of it. And so, you know, that you we have plasma energy devices we can use, or radio frequency to thicken that skin, or microneedling, plain microneedling, or some of the injectables that we can use. And so I think being able to give the patient a map of why we're fixing this to correct the problem that you dislike. And so I think as clinicians, education is a huge, huge part of what we do. And I think sometimes we just do it like, we don't think about it now at this point. And so we have to really kind of step back and think that most of the people that come to us, or a lot of people that come to us, they don't do this daily, and they don't think about it the way that we do. And they may not understand that, you know, the skin thins over time, or the impacts of sun damage that's causing what their problems are. And so what about you? What do you think?
No, I mean, I agree. I think, all the things that both of you have said, so consult, full treatment plan, I'll take it a little bit in a different route from a business perspective. And I know on the podcast, we have people who are owners, who are business owners. We have people who work within a business, and we also have consumers or clients or patients, whatever we want to call that are listening as well. But the reality is, we love forming long-term relationships with our patients. We like it when they see us for a long time. Yes, for the money, right? I mean, that's what I think is a superficial answer. People think, like, they see you more, you make more money. That's somewhat true. But what we focus on here, and what I talk a lot about in the business coaching side of things, is if you put patient safety and patient results first, the profits will follow. Well, the way that that occurs is that we see them over a long period of time. It takes lots and lots of money to market to get new patients in the clinic. And we know that those numbers like vary, but it can be as, you know, on the low side is $300 or $400 per new patient that you get in your chair. And I just taught a class yesterday, and there was two people in there that had taken a business class with me before. And I was really, really happy to see that they had taken some of the tools that we'd given them and applied them. And when I asked specifics, like, do you know what it costs you per hour to operate your business? Yes. And when I asked about marketing efforts, one of them said that they discovered they were paying $1,100 on average to get a new patient in their chair. And so I was like, if you pay $1,100 to get a new patient and you're making $300 profit, you're going in the hole. And so that's why they're charging the highest prices. Their patients are having to pay a really high price. They're not getting the best results. They're not necessarily happy. And these are skilled providers. So these providers are doing a phenomenal job. They're educated, they're skilled, they're trained, and they're going out of business. And their patients are kind of somewhat pleased. So it's like, yes, profit is the low-hanging fruit. It's like, we want to see them more because we want to be in business. But also by doing that, we're going to have patients who are happier. We're going to be able to keep our prices more competitive because we're not having to throw out those marketing dollars and get this continual supply, because we're building long-term relationships with patients. So we're going to understand their journey. We're going to understand the treatment history and where we're going with them, as we say, this map or this roadmap. So it's the short-term facial mapping to look like what we can do in that setting in that minute, but it's also the long-term mapping on what we're going to do over months to years to really get the best results and have the most satisfied clients.
So, Allie, when your patients come in, do you talk to them about facial mapping from that initial visit?
I don't think I ever really use the term facial mapping. Now, a lot of patients, because facial balancing is like the new buzzword, it seems like they come in asking for facial balancing or asking me what is facial balancing. I don't really necessarily say those terms or go into too deep of like scientific things with them, but I do like to talk to them, and I'm like, I think an educator first. Like, I am going to treat the patient and I do want them to have a great result, but I want them to understand what's happening and not me just doing something to them. And that's something that I think I get a lot of feedback from my patients personally on, is they're like, oh my God, thank you for telling me that. No one's ever taken the time to explain that to me, whether you're talking about, you know, bone recession, or you're talking about loss of collagen, or you're talking about, you know, different things that you can do to improve those things and fix those things. They haven't really always been explained from other providers why we do the things that we do, or why we may take the longer way to get to an end result, but it's better for them in the long run and healthier for their skin in the long run too. So I think, you know, I talk about it. I have them actually, you know, hold a mirror and I'll kind of, you know, touch on their face and, you know, show them some places that stick out to me, whether we're talking about, you know, bone recession and where we can add some filler or some sculpture in the area, or if it's, you know, hey, you know, we can do that, but also, you know, look at the texture of your skin. Like maybe we start that. I used the example today with a patient actually, that we would much rather paint on a clean stock paper style of canvas than a crumpled up sheet of notebook paper. You know, we want to use something of high quality because then that's going to make all of your injectables and everything else look better, look higher quality. Do your medical grade skincare at home. We can do energy-based devices and, you know, target multiple areas at once. And we don't have to do one thing and then wait prolonged periods of time. We can do multiple treatments and layer things to where they get a really beautiful result in a 3-month time span.
I think that everything you just said, like, also goes into building trust with the patient. And we don't really talk about that in the mapping process, but I think Chris and I have been at this a long time, and some of the patients we had at our very first place when we opened in Mobile still drive to see us today. And so I think when you achieve those goals that that you set out and that the patient sets, you achieve those goals, you do it with the patient in a safe way that everybody's happy, then you establish trust. And that goes back to the business part. And so it doesn't cost a lot of money to keep that patient in-house. It may cost a lot to initially get someone there, but I think one of the best ways to keep them there is to establish trust and safety.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that we both echo that a lot. And if you look at our mission, vision, and value statement at Skin and Tonic and what we had at JDCC, always what we've put in the top of that is patient safety. And I think Allie or anybody that works here would know that we'll never compromise on safety for any amount of money or profit. That's just first. But then we got to put close behind that the patient satisfaction and results. And so then clearly we do those things, the profit follows. And as you said, it doesn't take much effort to keep patients once they're with you, as long as you're treating them with respect, you're listening to their needs, and you're being, you know, responsive. We try to do that as a business. But the end of result of all that from a patient standpoint is, we are able, because we're not spending as much on marketing to those existing patients, to keep our prices fairly competitive. So I think people assume because we've done this for a long time and we're pretty established that we're on the higher end of price points, but we're really not. So when you look around our area, we're right middle of the road, and we're able to keep it in that range because we're not having to do as much or spend as much to keep getting new patients, because we treat them once and then they never come back to us again. And so looking at, from if you're a business owner, looking at the percent of patients, the return visits, and your new patients, and always balancing that. We talk about that a lot on the business side, but it does translate to the customers in the end run, because you're going to have to charge more if you're not able to keep them. That's the long and the short of that. I know that we all could, you know, get into details and talk all day about facial mapping. And you talked some about facial thirds. We can talk about facial fifths. How do we balance mid-face before lower face? And we teach a lot of that in our other classes. So I don't think we're going to get into a lot of the details of specific areas in the podcast. I guess if anybody's listening, they want to learn more about that. I know Allie has some upcoming fast tracks. Jerry has some. They're all here at our office in Pace. You can find out about it through Empire. We also have things through the personal brand. So you can look on drcrowley.com and find upcoming classes where you can get into more details about any of this. Thanks, Allie, for being here with us.
No problem.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.